The Gospel reading from Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Last week, we heard a wonderful sermon from Pastor Jennifer Bergen Davis about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her yes to God's angel Gabriel in the Gospel of Luke. This week, the spotlight turns to Joseph, Mary's betrothed, who faces his own yes or no decision in the Gospel of Matthew. We all know the story. Mary is found to be with child before marriage, Matthew says. And Joseph must decide what it is that he will do, for he knows that he is not the father. Someone else has sown this child within Mary's womb. An old children's pageant strikes at the heart of Joseph's dilemma. Two children playing, Mary and Joseph, arrive in Bethlehem. They knock on the door of the innkeeper, also played by a child. "Sorry, there is no more room," he says officiously. "But please," little Joseph says, "my wife is pregnant and we haven't got a room." "Sorry," the little innkeeper says, "that's not my fault." Then Joseph says, "Hey, it's not my fault either." We've heard of no-fault divorce, but it's more difficult to explain no-fault pregnancy. We can laugh about it now, but let me read for you what the law in the Bible's book of Deuteronomy says should be done. If there is a young woman, a virgin already engaged to be married, and a man meets her in the town and lies with her, you shall bring both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she did not cry for help in the town, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So then, you shall purge the evil from your midst. Now, suddenly, let me say, it's not so funny anymore, is it? Now it's deadly serious. course, we know that there is no man to bring to the gate of the town. There's just Mary. And as far as anyone else would have known, Joseph would have had every legal right to bring Mary to that gate and tell the whole town that she was pregnant and that he was not the father. Mary would have most certainly been stoned to death and her baby with her. Jesus would have been killed by the keepers of the law as a baby, just as he would later be killed by the keepers of the law as an adult. But Joseph, we are told, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly and thus spare their lives, at least for a little while. It was an understandable decision and even a noble one. And yet still, it's one which would have nonetheless left pregnant Mary all alone and vulnerable. She would have no protection from a husband. She could be forced to turn to prostitution as an occupation. She may still be convicted and stoned for fornication. So yes, Joseph was a righteous man, but here we must face a fact of sobering consequence, that his human righteousness, that his being right was, well, in the end, not enough. This is a major theme in Matthew's gospel, that our own human righteousness is never enough. For we can be right and still be wrong. And we can be prideful ourselves in being the keepers of the letter of the law and still end up stoning or abandoning the mother of Jesus. Like Joseph, we can simply be silent, not overtly accusatory or condemning, but simply silent and still be complicit in the bastardization of the very Son of God. This is where the gospel of grace breaks into the story. Now the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife," the angel says, "for the child within her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. You shall purge the evil from your midst, the Old Testament says. But the gospel lesson today warns us about being too certain of who and what is good and what and who is evil. For it is the so-called keepers of the law who end up being the real sinners in the story. We know. And in Reinhold Niebuhr's words, it is the unrighteousness of his own righteousness from which Joseph must be saved. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, St. Paul said. And the letter of the law would have stoned Mary to death. And Joseph, in his own righteousness, would have dismissed her. Both would have condemned her. But something in Joseph's spirit told him that that would not be right. It would not be true righteousness. So then, with a righteousness that was not his own, Joseph decided to trust the Spirit and to listen to the better angel of his nature and to follow a higher law than that of the letter of Scripture. And a righteousness greater than that of his being right. Think of it. Joseph had to admit that he was wrong. And in so doing, he made things right. Joseph was made a truly righteous man of God and a keeper of the spirit of the law, which is always and will forever be life and love. And if you don't have those things, if we don't have those things, then all we've got is our righteous religion, dead letters in the pages of a book, and a certainty about our own being right that is bound to lead us to doing wrong. Joseph went beyond the letter of the law and the rightness of his own righteousness and acted in a beautiful and compelling way on a faith inside of his spirit that told him that love is a higher law. And God's righteousness is greater than my need to be right in my religion. One of the great people in my life is a woman named Beth Pennington. Beth is a pillar in my home church Second B in Lubbock, where she has been a member since the 1960s and was an associate minister for many, many years. Beth and her husband Lee ended up at Second B because, well, Lee had been divorced. And Beth was his second wife. And Second B would accept divorced and remarried persons. Previously, they had attended another church where Lee was told that they could not be members in full standing because of the divorce and remarriage. "Well, will you still accept my money?" Lee asked. Oh, yes, that'd be just fine," they said. "They could still do that." "Sorry, Lee, Lee said, I've already spent it in riotous and dissolute living." He and Beth soon began looking for another church, and they ended up at Second B, where they both became full-fledged members, and Lee became a Sunday school teacher and a deacon. And Beth got ordained and became the associate minister of the church and the chair of the committee that called me as pastor. So, yes, I am partial. And in 2015, when Second B was considering accepting same-sex marriage, Beth gave one of the most powerful church speeches I have ever heard. She spoke in support. And she told how when she and Lee got engaged, she first asked her uncle, who was a Baptist minister, if he would perform the wedding. And he refused, Beth said, because he said he understood marrying divorced people was against the words of the Bible. This was a heavy, heavy blow to both Beth and Lee, the first of many. Then Beth decided to ask her grandpa, her mother's and her uncle's father, who was himself a Baptist minister. And her grandpa told Beth he was apprehensive about it all, and it didn't square with what he'd been taught and how he'd grown up, and he couldn't quite square it with some of those black letters in the book of the Bible, but he said he knew that Beth and Lee loved each other, and he knew they were going to get married anyways. So he would do it. He would officiate the service. And he would offer the Lord's blessing upon the marriage. Because he said there was something in his spirit that told him it was the right thing to do. In 55 years, two children, two grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren later, Beth told the church, "I'd say it was. And if my grandpa could say yes to our marriage, how could I say no to anyone else's?" Do not be afraid to marry Mary, the angel told Joseph. Do not be afraid to choose the spirit over the letter. Do not be afraid to choose love over the law. Do not be afraid to let love be your law. And when Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. And when she had borne a son, Joseph named him Jesus. He named him his Savior. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,